up for our band one more time. That was good stuff, man. I tell you what, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs. If you've never heard the Ray Charles version of Rumpa Pum Pum, I encourage you, go out to iTunes, Amazon, get that version. You will be blessed. There'll be Christmas songs playing in our house all week, and so I hope that that one encouraged you today. And so, it's very fitting with our message this morning. The little drummer boy's response was, I don't have anything to give, but I bring you what you've given me, my talents, and I play for you. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if during this Christmas season we could just convey that message to our children, that what God really wants is not your stuff. He really wants you. He wants your best for him. So this morning I want us to continue on our series, Greater Than. In week one, we talked about how God's grace was greater than our sin, and he offered the Apostle Peter the gift of a second chance. And no doubt in here, how many times has God extended that gift to us? And where would we be without God's second chances? And then last week, we talked about the gift of community. And we even talked about how a young man in our church has experienced an eternal life change as a result of being involved in community. What a gift, the gift of salvation wrapped in the gospel, presented in the context of community, and how that God wants us to be involved in sharing our lives with one another. So giving the gift of community away and receiving the gift of living in community is something that is essential for our Christian lives. This week, we're going to be looking at God is greater than. God is greater than sides, as in picking sides, and God is greater than situations that we find ourselves in. And I think that as we wrestle with this morning's text and the examples that we're going to give, I want us all to be challenged, to be challenged on whether or not we have the right perspective in life. And I promise you today there's going to be some iron clashing against iron, and that's the way we sharpen ourselves. And so today that maybe this will be one that you chew on for a little while, and you'll allow it to challenge you in the way that you live out your Christian faith. I want us to begin with the bracket verse concept. And when you walk in every week, this verse is out here on the wall of our foyer. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and I'm old school. When I was in seminary, we read out of the King James, so I know it in the King James. We're going to put the ESV up here because that's the version I read now, but I know it as this. We can put the verse up. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and throughout all ages, world without end, forever and ever. Amen. And so that's the tenor of the text this morning. Put back up verse 20. And most people focus on the first phrase, and I get that. Because here's the truth of the matter. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine in your life. That's what he wants to do for your life this morning. But he gives a caveat, right? He gives a method to appropriate the message. And it says right there in the second half, the second phrase, according to the power that works within us. So you understand that in order to get to the more than you could ask or imagine, you have to apply the right methodology. So this morning I have a message that is, God wants to give you more than you could ever ask or imagine in purpose and meaning in your life. Matter of fact, he already designed it from eternity past. He literally drew it out and has the steps for you to follow to experience the abundant life that Christ offers. But he says that there's a method that you have to go through in order to receive this message. He said it's according to the power that works within you. So think about that for a moment. That are you living according to the power that is inside you? Because this is what I believe. Here's the tension. I believe that we all struggle with the outside versus the inside. The outside being the flesh man that's tainted by our sin nature. Inside, for those of us that have accepted Christ, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul said there's a war There's a conflict that rages within all of us. Let's see if this is true for you as it is for me. He said that the things that you want to do, he said the things that you should do, the things that are of God, he said, I find it so hard to do those things. He said, but the things I don't want to do, the things I know are wrong, the things I know are bad, the things I know are sin, he said, I find it so easy to do those things. Is the Apostle Paul alone in this matter, or would you say that you have similar proclivities? For instance, I know for myself, and I've shared this story with you before, that I have a mistress. I have a mistress. I have a weakness in my flesh. Does anybody know who my mistress is? Canes, chicken. Curse you, Canes. And so my flesh is drawn to it. I don't want to do it. I know it's bad for me, but my car is like, yes, go to the lights. And so the bright, shining broiler. And so anyway, Canes chicken is my weakness. Now, I know I shouldn't eat Canes. I know that that's not good for my diet. It's not helping my workout program, but I love it so much. It's so easy to just eat it. And so the things that I should eat, the things that I should do, like vegetables, who wants vegetables? Yeah. And so those are things that are hard for me to do. And I think all of us can relate, right? I mean, there are things that God has called us to live from the inside out, not from the outside in, and therein lies the struggle. And today I want to illustrate two ways that we can change our perspective. God gives the gift of perspective, and then he also is going to unwrap the gift of provision. And how we need these two things, and they are accomplished or appropriated, received by the Spirit, by the inside being synced up. So our spirit being synced up with God's Spirit, and then we can affect our outside. But this morning, if you're trying to change your outside without syncing your inside, I'm telling you right now, you are going to make a mess. You are going to find yourself in trouble in over your head. So let's get into the two examples this morning. Number one, God is greater than sides. So the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 5 have just crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground. Joshua has been anointed the leader. He has led the people safely across. Their first task/test is the Battle of Jericho. Now, leave it to God. It wasn't like a gradual ramp up to the first test. You know, there wasn't a practice test or anything. There wasn't like some cliff notes. No, you get across the Jordan River and first test, the grandest test of all, this incredible fortress lies before you. And now we are going to test the faith of this generation. Remember, God had called another generation out of Egypt. But the generation that left Egypt, that were called out, were not able to make it in, right? So it's possible for us to begin our Christian faith, but not get to the promised land that God wants us to. So something has to happen, right, in order for us to cross our Jordan River. And that's what I want to talk about for just a moment. So Joshua crosses over, and now they're looking at Jericho and this incredible, in their minds, the walls reach the heavens. I mean, it was just impregnable type of fortress. And so there's this interesting interaction that Joshua has. It says in verse 13, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up, and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. So ready for battle, right? I mean, imagine if today you walked in your house, you opened the door, and there's a dude standing there with a sword. A big Herculean dude, mind you. And he's standing there. That'd be a little freaky. Would everybody agree? That'd be a little weird. That'd be a little strange. And you'd probably ask the same question that Joshua asked. Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Because it's good to know if there's some dude with a sword whose side he's on. And then the reply of God is the head scratcher, right? This is where it gets a little like, you know, out of the ordinary, not what you expected. A little twist in the movie plot, if you will. It says in verse 14, neither. God replies, and God is here in the form of a man interacting with Joshua. He says, neither. I'm not for you or for them. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua responded. He fell on his face and he said, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for you're on holy ground." Man, the last person who heard those words was Moses at the burning bush. The baton has been handed. Will Joshua fare better than his predecessor, Moses? What kept Moses out, will it keep Joshua from progressing forward? Herein lies the question. Whenever he encountered this man on the road, he said, "Are you for us or are you for them?" Now, is that question wrapped in flesh or spirit? I propose to you that he did not receive the plan when he asked that question. What did he receive? Neither. Neither. I'm not for you. I'm not for them. Who is God for? God is for his side. His side this morning. This is the first thing that we have to unwrap this morning. God is wanting to give you the gift of perspective, that he's not a respecter of sides. And I think that many of us, what we do is we kind of have our showcase. You know, if you ever watched The Price is Right back in the day, like, what do we have behind this showcase, right? We kind of have our presentation ready for God, and we're going to pitch it to him, right? We're like, we unveil the curtain, and we're like, here, God, is the life I've kind of figured out for myself. This is my plans. I got a nice vacation home over here, and I got my kids' college fund over here. I got this car picked out. I'd like to expand this wing of my house or move over to this neighborhood. And we kind of unfold it before God, and we say, God, here is my plan. Here is my side. Would you join me? Would you join me, God, in the life that I've planned out? And isn't it a harsh awakening when God says, you don't understand? I'm not on your side. And then we're like, oh my gosh, you're not on my side. Are you on their side? And God's like, no, I'm not on their side either. Well, and then we're like sitting there perplexed, right? Well, whose side are you on then? He said, I'm on my side. I'm on my side. Now, in Joshua chapter 5 ends here. We don't have time to read all of Joshua chapter 6. But whenever he shifted from flesh, whose side are you on? To spirit, what is your message, master? What is your message for your servant? And then all of a sudden, God unfolded the plan for victory. He gave him the gift of perspective. Now watch this. Watch this. In Joshua chapter 6, God says, here's the plan. Here's the plan, Joshua. I want you to march around the city one time a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times, and then forget about the archers, forget about the swordsmen, forget about the chariots. No. Put the trumpeters, the warrior trumpet. I mean, that's what you usually think of, right? Warrior trumpet guy. Put them out front, have them blow their trumpets, and then yell really loud, and the walls will fall down, and it will be incredible. Now, I want you to just think for a moment. 15 minutes. Before God unfolded this plan in Joshua chapter 6, before God spoke it to Joshua, was Joshua's plan of attack, was he thinking what God was thinking? No. The answer is no. Let me tell you something. Whenever you come up against an obstacle that is of this size and this proportion in your life, many of you are trying to figure it out, right? You're trying to like think of like, oh, well, what's my plan of attack here? And I'm telling you right now, you're going to come against some things, some obstacles in which you have no plan. And whatever thought you're thinking, I assure you, 99 times out of 100, what you're thinking is not what God's thinking. As he began to unfold it before Joshua, do you think that when he finished and he said, trumpets, right? Shout, check. We're going to go do that now. Do you think that as soon as God finished speaking, Joshua was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. You know, that's probably what I was going to go with. Shout, walls fall down, we win. We don't have to fight at all. Yeah, okay, that's exactly what was on my mind. No. So God was trying to give him a plan that was exceedingly, abundantly more than he could ever ask or imagine. But if he would have stayed in the flesh, he would have never received it. You see, the children that died in the wilderness, that wandered their whole life and never made it to the promise. The reason why they did so is revealed in Hebrews. It says that they did not enter in because of their unbelief. This morning, it's not enough to have obedience without faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. That we know in the natural order, if you're going to do business with somebody and you are lesser than them, are you joining them or are they joining you? Isn't it the natural order that the lesser joins the greater? So this morning, whenever we come to God with our plans, we are asking the greater, the God of the universe who spoke this world into existence, come and fit within my shell of a plan. We're trying to take him and render to him our rendition of the way we think our life should go. And God is saying, you don't understand, I'm the greater than. I am the greater than. And therefore the lesser joins the greater. This morning, if you want to conquer the castle that stands in the way of your promised land, you have to be willing to ask the right questions. And if not, God, are you on their side? Are you on my side? The right question is, God, what is your side? What is your side? What is your plan? And then God's going to unfold something that will blow your mind. I started considering some questions. Why is it that we don't ask God what his plan is oftentimes? And I thought, maybe sometimes we get busy, but I think under the surface there, perhaps there's this. And you guys kind of see if I'm tracking with you this morning. I think sometimes we don't want to ask God what his plan is because we're afraid that it's going to conflict with our plan. And God's plan usually doesn't revolve around your convenience or your comfort. Did you notice that? That if you like literally said, God, what is your plan for my life? What if he said, I want you to do something where you get paid less money than you get paid right now? You would say, surely not, God. I would never need to make less. Or maybe he said, you know what? I know you're busy right now, but I want you to serve the church. He said, well, how do I have time to serve when I got my own life here? He's like, yes, now you're starting to see the point. And so this morning, whenever we think about God's desires versus our desires, usually his desires come with sacrifice, come with suffering, come with discomfort. And whenever we reveal our showcase, what does it revolve around? Our comfort and our convenience. And so these two worlds collide, and they're at odds with one another. So this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what perspective are you pursuing life after? Because he says, here's my gift, exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or think. But you're never going to untie it. You're never going to unwrap it if you stay in the flesh. At some point, your spirit, the inside, has to govern the outside. And I'm telling you, walls that seem impossible can fall in a moment whenever you're governed and led from the inside out. Number two, not only is he greater than sides, he's greater than situations. Now this is a fun one. I'm going to have a lot of fun with this today. I hope you have fun with me. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story of Elisha and what was referred to as the floating axe head. And I don't know if you've ever heard the sermon preached on this, but I'm willing to bet that 99 out of 100 people haven't. And so this is a great passage, and I think that it's a fun story, but wrapped inside of it is a profound truth. So let's read along together. It says, now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see, the place where we dwell under your charge, is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there. So they said that where we've outgrown our habitation, and we want to expand. So they're ready to expand, and they're asking the man of God for permission. And he says to them, go. Then one of them said, be pleased to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. Let's just pause there for a moment. This is the pivotal point in this story, believe it or not. One of the prophets had the right mindset, had the wherewithal, the perspective, the awareness to say, I want to invite the voice of God on my journey of expansion. That's going to be very important. We're going to put that in our pocket, and we're going to bring it back out in about 5 minutes. But I wanted you to see it before we move on, that they invited the voice of God on their journey. So the next verse, it says, so he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, alas, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man said to God, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. And he said, take it up. So he reached out his hand and he took it. Now, I have a prop for you today. I love props. Do you guys love props? Just makes the story so much better, right? I got a stick here today. It's not a magical stick. It's just a stick. We cut it off out back this morning, all right? So here is a stick. Don't tell the environmentalist, okay? So here is my stick this morning. And I was thinking about this story of God's provision. Whenever this guy was out there swinging his axe along, you know, all of a sudden his axe head flew off into the water. And all of a sudden he was faced with a situation. Have you ever had a situation come up in your life? Have you ever stepped in a big pile of situation? Has that ever happened to anybody in here? You know, some situations don't smell so great. And so sometimes situations in life happen, and some of them are by accident, some of them are by bad choices that we make, but I guarantee you all of us can relate to situations. And so this morning I wanted us to look at what were the results and what was the fallout and how was it handled once they got into this situation. And number one, I want us to look at when that axe head flew into the water, this man's heart sank. And to him, this axe head was now impossibly lost. It was permanently out of reach. And it was going to cost him big time, right? That's why he was so concerned about it. And so he's sitting there and he cries out to the man of God. Now here's where we go back to get it out of our pocket. Here was the man of God with them. And I wanted us to think about that for a moment. How many of us are going on our life, and we all have desires and dreams and aspirations of expansion, do we not? Do we not? But how many of us get so busy and we're in such a hurry to get from A to B in life that we forget to invite the voice of God on our journey? I don't know how you are in life, but I don't know if it's the older I get, but I forget things all the time now. Let me ask y'all a question. Do you go out of your house, actually get out to your car, and then realize that you forgot something all the time? Does anybody else do this? I leave the front door like three times, and I get out there, I'm like, stupid, I need the keys to the car, you know? Wallet, important, you know, or something like that. I forget things all the time, and usually when I forget things, it's because I'm in such a hurry. I'm in such a hurry to get to the place. Have you ever gotten to the place and not had the thing that you really needed? But man, you got there fast, didn't you, right? And I think so many of us, that's a metaphor for life. We're in such a hurry that we forget to invite the voice of God. I think the problem lies is what happens when your axe flies off into the water and you didn't invite God on your journey. You didn't invite godly counsel on your journey. Who do you turn to then? Who's going to make that axe head float when you don't have God with you? How important is it this morning as we consider God's gift of provision, God's gift of provision, that you invite him, as you expand your life, that you invite him on the journey, that you invite godly counsel on your journey? Because I'm telling you, situations are going to come up that you weren't ready for. I guarantee you, it wouldn't take you long to probably think of something that happened in your life that you weren't ready for. And if you haven't laid the foundation of godly counsel, of the Word being in your life, of the Word being around you and in you, and the Spirit leading you, man, the Bible says, woe be to the person who falls and has no one there to help him up. Here's the man of God out there with him, and his axe head flies into the water. I love this story. I mean, you can't make this kind of stuff up, right? Axe head flies into the water, and he's like, alas, my master! And he's making a spiritual appeal because he knows that there's no one else that he's going to ask about this situation other than Elisha. He says, it was borrowed! And the man of God is so awesome. He's like, where was it? Oh, right here? He goes, one second. He goes over here, and he starts, you know, alright, he gets his tree branch out. He goes, right here, this is where it went? He goes, alright. Now you know that there was like a moment, right? Before when the stick hit the water and maybe it floated downstream, maybe it sank, I don't know. But there was a moment between, right? Between when the axe head came up and the stick got thrown in the water. And you know the dude that was watching Elijah was sitting there like, is that it? Is that what we're going with? I could have thrown a stick in the water. I mean, how in the world is this going to work? What in the world are you doing? I mean, all of these things went through this guy's mind, because I'm going to tell you, for all my logicians that are in here, for all my analytical people, for all my scientific people, I want you to come up with an equation for me. Please help me this morning. Stick, water, iron, that is not buoyant, floats to the surface. Please, please help me. Give me the scientific reasoning behind how the stick made the iron float. If you can get there, please, please reveal it to me. Because I think at the end of the day, whenever he threw it in the water, and that moment of doubt, like, what are you doing, occurred. And then what happened? It began to bubble up to the surface. And the man of God was able to raise that which seemed impossibly lost, that which seemed permanently out of reach. In just a moment, that which was at the bottom of the ocean, the bottom of the river, the bottom of the sea, was within his grasp. I want you to think about that this morning, that God's provision is available to you. But it's about how you seek it, right? If you're seeking it from the outside in, that would have never happened. That would have never happened. But he sought it from the inside out. He appealed to God. He appealed to the voice of God that he had invited on his journey. Man, I as I was kind of wrapping my mind around this, I thought of a conversation that I once had with a guy that was on the verge of losing his marriage, losing his kids, doing dumb things that guys do, and his sins were catching up to him. And I had a question, a long 5-hour conversation probably. And as we kind of went through all the things, what I began to see was that logically, this guy understood exactly where he was. And you know what? He was fair about it. Because some people you talk to and they're like, oh, she's just a this and oh, he's just a that. And they only see their side, right? He was fair and bad. I mean, man, he was right. It was like, oh, I see, you know, I do all of these things and this is the way it makes her feel. And she does these things that are unhealthy and hurt people. And man, like I was talking to a psychologist, even though he'd been to counseling enough that he knew all the right answers. And so physically, in the flesh, he understood exactly where he was. And after we went away from that conversation, I even had a conversation with my wife about it. She's like, what do you think? And I was like, well, I think he's really fair about this. I think he has a plan, and I think he could be a good husband. I just think they needed to work through some stuff. And then it was like God literally spoke to me. And he said, I want you to analyze the conversation for just a moment. He said, where was the spirit in the conversation? And even as a pastor, I had lost sight of that. Sometimes you're counseling people, you're working through all the minutiae that you lose sight of the tree for the forest. He said, where was the spirit in the conversation? So I shot the guy a text. I said, hey, just out of curiosity. I know we talked about all the ins and outs of your situation, how bleak it was, and some of the things that you could behavior-wise change. And I said, but let me ask you a question. What is God saying to you as you walk through this situation? What has God revealed to you as his plan of hope for you? When's the last time you experienced revival in your spirit and you heard from God on how to move through these murky waters? And you know what the response was? Silence. Offense. You see, whenever you get from the outside in instead of the inside out, your flesh is so prideful, you would rather lose everything than to humble yourself and say, God, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. If you want me to throw a stick in the water, if you want me to blow a trumpet and yell at the wall, God, I am open from the inside out to your plan because all of my options are exhausted. And this problem is not one that is solved in the physical. It's one that's solved in the spiritual. As I was watching this story unfold in the scriptures, I thought that moment has some incredible parallelism with the gospel, does it not? When Jesus died on the cross, consider for a moment, wasn't there a space of time between when he died on the cross and was laid in the borrowed tomb where the disciples experienced that same doubt? I mean, Jesus, when he breathed his last and said, "It is finished," to the disciples, He was permanently out of reach. He was impossibly lost. And all hope was gone. On the third day, though, everything changed. Hope began to bubble up to the surface. Light began to float out of the darkness. And God said, I am able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask or imagine. And he raised up that which seemed permanently out of reach, that which appeared to be permanently lost, and he put it within the grasp of each and every one of us. In Acts chapter 16, it says that God is not far from any of us. Though if we would just reach out by faith into the darkness, that God could be found this morning. You tell me, if there's a greater God in the universe that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. This morning, I'm telling you, you have to sink your inside. The spirit that is in you with the spirit of God. And I'm telling you, the walls will fall. The things that you think you've lost and they'll never come back. What if I told you this morning that he can raise it up and put it right there within your grasp? Only God can do stuff like that. And if you keep searching for solutions that you can figure out, you'll never see the plan of God. But this morning, if you would humble yourself and say, God, I don't know. God loves to hear you say, I don't know. I'm open to suggestion. What do you have, God? And then he's going to reveal something to you, and you're probably going to go, what? Whenever you feel your instant doubts inside of your flesh, that is usually the exact plan that God wants you to go with. He's like, well, God's going to call. Yes. Well, God, it's going to hurt. Yes. Well, God, I'm going to suck. Yes. It's not going to be comfortable. Yes. But watch. Watch what will happen when I'm done. Watch what will happen when I'm done. His gifts have been wrapped for you this morning. He's put perspective under the tree. He's put provision under the tree. And he says this morning, if you'll seek me from the inside out, you can unwrap them. Leave here with them today. The choice is yours. I hope you'll join us today. Would you stand as we worship?